As I pointed out before, and especially the early readings in Lent, are to help us correct our lives so that we can enter into the mystery of the death and resurrection of the Lord, and with understanding. First, understand the plan, and second, know the interior sufferings of Jesus himself. But today, we have, again, some simple, basic teaching. You know, first from the prophet Isaiah, he calls the people of his own city, Jerusalem, the city he still has chosen. And he says, princes of Sodom, people of Gomorrah, the very symbol of corruption, wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim. And that's tzedek, the famous word. You all know that word now. Right? And what does it mean? Honor the truth of every relationship. Live out the truth. So, what is the truth of our relationship to the orphan and the widow and the poor? The truth of that relationship is to care for them. That's justice. Somehow we think that's mercy. Like of the abundance of what I have, I'll give a dime. No, this is justice. You see? And now the Lord practices justice. If your sins are like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. You see how, for God, mercy is justice, if you understand. So long as we're in this life, all he wants is our union with him. And so, the truth of this relationship, see, is that he's promised mercy, and he lives up to his promises. That's justice. Like our justice is to care for the poor. See? Then we have this famous Psalm 50, which is a real, what can I say? It starts off, you know, God comes in shining beauty and he said, summons all my people before me. And then one stanza from the first part of the psalm. I don't rebuke you before your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are before me always. I don't take from your house any bullock, no goats out of your fold. The whole world is mine. All the animals in the African desert are mine. The African jungle are mine. I don't need you to kill your cows and burn them. I need your heart. You see, why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? Now he's going after us. That's justice. What's the justice? Mercy. Look what you're doing. You know where that'll take you? Why does he do that? Why do we have the Lord inspiring so many exhortations to us to repent for our sins, to come back to him, to practice justice? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. That he talks to us this way. Then he answers, he finally gets down. Of course, you'd have to look at the psalm, Psalm 50, to get the whole. And that's a good meditation every day, you know, when you go to your own prayer time. Pick up the psalm and read it. And let the Lord talk to you. You see, when you do these things, you think I'm deaf? You don't think I see him? You know? Or do you think I'm like yourself? I can be complimented out of acting justly. You know, oh God, you're so wonderful. You're so smart. You're so... And I'll overlook your sins because of that flattery? No. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me. Praise. Well, you got to learn how to praise, right? There are moments when we're filled with praise. I don't know why it comes back to me. When I was ordained up in the monastery, my mother was really like there was light coming out of her. You know, it was the most amazing thing. And I was over in Jerusalem when she died. And my sister said to me, "Do you remember how Mom looked when you were ordained?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, that's the way she looks now." So you see, sacrifice of praise. Try it. It's embarrassing, isn't it? "I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for your mercy." Only 30 seconds. I got 4.5 minutes to go. What am I going to say now? You know? It shows you that we don't get it. I mean, if we understood God, if we saw what we deserve, and in place of that, what He gives us, we'd praise morning, noon, and night. Because praise is in the mind. It's not in the emotions. So if we cultivate our mind, read the scriptures, think about what He's done. See, praise is in the mind. You see? "He that offers praise glorifies me, and to him who goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God." I don't have a lot of time for the gospel, but it's pretty obvious, right? He's saying, don't worry about looking pious. Be pious. Don't look around that oh, you're so pious. You're such a great person. Forget about that. Let your heart talk to my heart. And then when there's difficulty or pain or darkness, my heart will talk to your heart. You see? Instead of all this stuff, you know, places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces. You see? Call no one on earth your father. Whoa, boy, you Catholics, you call all the priests father. You're disobeying the Lord. You know, it's right here. No. Here, don't call anybody the source of your, you know, life. You're under, nobody but God. But if you look, in the letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, what does it say? You've got a lot of teachers in Christ, but only one Father. I begot you by the gospel. So that the gospel gives life, and someone who preaches the gospel is a father. But it's not automatic. It doesn't go with the territory. You see? Because it's life. And of course, as it says in the letter to the Ephesians, you see, blessed be the Lord, the God, you know, of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood takes its name. To be a genuine father means first to have God yourself for father and know that, or mother, and beget life by love, by truth. That's the point. Just don't get a title and walk around with it. Because it's empty. As you know, then I'll quit with this, but praise. Oh, you're great, you're so whatever. The philosophers point out that praise can never satisfy the human being. Ever. In the very first, when he went on, St. Thomas starts to talk about the moral actions. Huh? Talks about God and all that in the first part of the Summa, and the second part on human actions as our way to God. As Augustine says, we go to God affectibus non pedibus. We don't go to God, we go to God with our decisions, not our feet. These fellows were really smart, you know. Anyway, St. Thomas says, as the fellow Aristotle said it, honor is in the one honoring. It's to their credit that they honor somebody. Excellence is in the one honored if it really is there. Strive for excellence and don't worry about honor. Excellence? Excellence is to be like Jesus Christ. Humble, obedient, loving, forgiving. That's excellence. And suppose nobody praises me. Am I any worse? Suppose the whole world praises me. Am I any better? No. It's a wonderful thing, that whole section. Does riches make you better? Does honor make you better? How can riches make you better? Basically, what can you do with money? Except buy stuff to put in a hole in your head. You know, fundamentally, what, you know, no matter how much you got, 65 billion, whatever some of these guys have got, what can they do with it? Basically, feed yourself. Put some clothes on your body. Is that man's happiness? It's a wonderful, that whole part is a meditation on what makes a person happy. What makes a person happy is the knowledge and love of God.